was still alive. You know, I thought he was dead. He was later dead. And man, when I rubbed his head, pardon me? What now? Oh. You know, four days ago. Brother, I think I'll be working on another 6 months. We're getting it, though. We're getting it. There's always something to do.
It was freezing.
Wow. It never did. They claimed it was supposed to be 6 degrees, but it was never. It didn't get above 50. All it was not. It was 40 something.
There was a time when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. There was a time when the people of God lived in a godly way. Something's wrong. It's time to turn around. Something's wrong. It's time to heat the sound. We need revival. All across the land, we need revival. It's time to take the stand. We better fall on our knees and pray. And turn from our wicked ways. We need revival all across the land. Now is the time. And this is the place. We're the one. Now is the time. We dare not hesitate. The people of God must lift their voice. We must be strong in the power of God's name. We must be strong. This darkness is our lamp. We need revival all across the land. We need revival. It's time to take the stand. Better fall on our knees and pray. And turn from our wicked ways. We need revival all across the land. We need revival all across the land.
Hey. Revive us, Lord, again.
Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 185. Page number 185, My Savior's Love. And when we get there, if you're willing and able to stand, please.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
We still can.
Yes.
Lord, help us tonight, Lord. Meet with us and show yourself ever so real to us. I do pray, Lord, that you do a work in our hearts. And, Lord, forgive us for our sin. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. Good to see everyone tonight. I do ask you to keep our nation in prayer, keep our president in prayer. The Bible says God is not mocked.
Yes, you're right. That's right.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, you know, I fear that that's where we are as a nation, is we're really reaping what we've sown, and because God is not mocked. And now we've become a mockery. I mean, honestly, what's going on right now is a mockery. And it's not, God is not in that. I'm not saying God's not allowing that, but God is not in that. God is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
Amen. And there's a whole lot of confusion going on in our country. And I really find that both sides, if you want to choose sides,
yeah,
both sides are so blinded in confusion right now.
Right.
And it's a sad place to be. But I'm thankful that we do have the light. And Brother Stephen, I think I'd text you today. You know, isn't it good that God, in Him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
He'll bring all of this to light. He'll bring everything to place. And I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about what all's going on. And by the way, they're not going to be able to actually impeach anyone until he's not a president anymore. And I don't know how that works. Never heard of a president that's not the president getting impeached from being president.
Amen.
Amen. But they're going to spend your dollars doing it. Amen. And, you know, if we don't laugh about it, in the prayer room I said, you know, I don't know if you want to laugh or cry. Either way, you'll come to tears. Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we get wrapped up on what man's doing, that's all that we have. This world and everything that's going on, I mean, they shut down news stations to do nothing but figure out what's going on for the second time.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, it won't even be completed until he's not even president anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful that God just has it all under control.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
And America still, listen, I know there's a lot of chaos going on, a lot of turmoil going on, but I'm still proud to be an American.
Yeah.
I'm still thankful, and I've been into some foreign countries. Listen, America is still a great nation.
Right. Yeah,
We just need to come back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's grab the flag. I'm not talking about the American flag, but the banner. I believe the way that it's worded is the banner over me is love.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's grab the banner of the Lord and that standard, if you would. The standard they would fly was their flag saying who they were. It would be good for us tonight to really be that child of God that God wants us to be. That we would wave the banner. It's not our banner. It's His banner. And that's really what this world needs to see. It's not us. It's not Northside Baptist Church. It's not this preacher. It's not that preacher. It's not you as an individual, but they need to see our God. And that He is still the God that we need to choose. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that God would really work in our heart throughout this revival, but not just through the revival, through the year. And I don't know if the Lord tarries through next year and through the next, and that we would just go ahead and grab that banner. And you know, it's funny. Out at the farm on the cabin, we had put a little flag holder. And Sister Sarah's like, you know, I just don't know that I like it there. And we had put, I don't even remember what holiday. Was it Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving, we'd put turkey flag or something, you know, thankful, you know, something spiritual on there.
Yeah.
And we had put it on there. And she's like, I just don't like it there. Well, Jonathan, back on the goat barn here in Pembroke, you say, preacher, you got a goat barn? Well, when he was blacksmithing and we built that little lean-to for him, I told him, I said, when you move out, I'm going to turn that into the goat barn. And he just kind of laughed about it, and, well, he moved out. But he left a flag. I'm talking about an American flag. You know, there's never a bad time to fly a flag.
Right.
To show, hey, this is who we're with. I haven't given up on the nation because God hasn't given up on us. May I tell you the Lord's desire, the greatest desire He has, is for America to come back to a nation that fears Him.
Amen.
And it's going to start here.
Yes.
It's going to start with us. Amen?
It's going to start with us. Brother James?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got one
here. Amen. Yeah.
Tell you one thing. It's time to gird up your loins.
Right. Amen.
Stand up and be counted. You know,
right.
Christians, that's what's going on in our country today. The Christians have fallen by the wayside.
Yes, sir.
And let the evildoers take over.
Yes,
that's what's going on.
Yeah. It's time to show yourself a man.
That's right. You know, I hadn't slowed down. You know, I seem like I'm doing more handing out tracts and things than I did before. You know, but it ain't slowed me down any. The Lord keeps putting people in front of me.
Right.
And I ask Him to do that. Here we go. Oh, page 114, I'm sorry. Page 114. I can't think of two things at one time. I get confused real easy. Must be this hoary head. That's what God calls it, huh? A hoary head, brother. You know, I better stop there. I might get in trouble.
You can only play some background
music. Anyway. Here we go.
Move this let God children. 40 years He led them through the cold and through the night. Move this and let's turn back. Move this and keep going. Canaan land to just inside. Like Moses, we must keep on going. Canaan land is just inside. There will be no sorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey of glory. That
Amen. That's a good song.
Amen.
I was thinking today about Obed-Edom in the Bible and how the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into his house and that it changed him and his family.
Amen.
It affected him and his wife. And when they took the Ark back to David, David was like, I need some people to do certain things. And Obed-Edom, I can't do nothing, but I'll volunteer for everything.
That's right.
Amen. Let's take your hymn books and turn to page number 183. Oh, how I love Jesus. And that's really what I think he was getting at. Man, he's done so much for me. Why can't I do something for him?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's stand, please, if you're willing and able.
Once he even did save us.
Yep.
Amen. There's not any of us. I know we were talking about the plug nickel a while back. Amen. Haven't ever seen one, but they say they exist. Amen. And we wasn't worth a plug nickel before we got saved. We aren't worth a plug nickel after we got saved. But I'm thankful he still loves us in spite of us, blesses us in spite of us. You know, it's amazing how many people think that once they get saved, they actually had some merit to it. Amen. He saved me out of the mire. He lifted me up out of the mire. I'm still nothing but dust. Amen. You know, I was thinking about the message, this little piggy that I preached several years ago, and I don't know why God just kind of brought it back up. I don't know if I was counting little piggies or what, but I was thinking about that today. And you know, I'm sure thankful I don't have to be that old piggy. I can be the new piggy. I still have the same old flesh, but I don't have to let it have me. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all ready? Amen.
since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
If I ever heard the words that described what He did for me, I'm sure I would never forget. And if there are words to describe the words seem so feeble and small, but I love Him. I love Him with all of my heart, and to love Him is to give Him my every time I hear it told, how the world crucified Him, I just crumble, 'cause I know that it's true. Broken and bruised, hanging there, He prayed, "Father, forgive them. Though the words seem so feeble and small, but I love Him. I love Him with all of my heart. And to love Him is to give Him my all. And to love Him
love Him tonight. No need me asking, does He love you? I already know the answer to that question. But do you love Him tonight? Amen? Boy, isn't it awesome how great our God is and what He does for us and how He blesses us and takes care of us, and on and on and on the story goes. And, you know, here's the good thing about this story. There is no ending to it. Amen. You know, they've made movies, and at the end of the movie it will say, the end. They've made them. Amen. They've made cartoons, and they even put this in there. The end. Amen. I mean, they've done all that manner. You know why? Because everything comes to an end except the things of God. There is no ending. The book just keeps on going. Amen. The movie keeps on going. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, now you don't need to work it up. Well, that's what we do with the flesh. We work everything up with the flesh. Amen. So, praise God. Amen. Well, open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Good to see you tonight. Good to be in the Lord's house. It's been great. I know this is not the last night, but just in case Jesus comes, I won't be here tomorrow night. I want you to already know this. Okay, just in case you are. It's been good all these 2 weeks. And it's almost been the 2 weeks. And it's been very good. Most of all, because He has showed up. And He's been with us every service. Been with every service. Praise God. Most of you have, and those of you that haven't, it wasn't because you didn't want to be here. Yeah. Amen? Right. Amen. God knows our heart. Yeah. We say that all the time, but it is the truth. You know that. It's not just a saying. Amen? Right. Praise God. And He knows all about that, but it's been good. We've been eating. I mean, the pastor and his wife have been feeding us, and then some of you brought some food in, and so anytime in a service, if I burp, it is not my fault, it's theirs. All right? Amen? But it's been good. Miss Pam and I want to thank you. Our grandchildren want to thank you for taking such good care of us, and we praise the Lord for that. Amen? But I'll be honest, we came expecting it. You know why? Not because we're worthy, but because that's what you folks have always done. You got a bad name. Amen? You fatten folks up. That's not good. Amen? You know why? It makes us keep coming back to get more fatter. Amen. Amen. We just enjoy coming over here. And we thank y'all for inviting us in and letting us come. Praise the Lord for you. 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you'll stand with us tonight, we'll read verse number 8. We started a message last night on how we can defeat Satan. And we want to continue tonight. The Lord leads, I tell you. After all the songs about loving the Lord and Him loving us, I kind of want to switch gears and go in another direction. God didn't say do that, so I'm not about to do it. Amen. So we look in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Be sober." He wants us to be sober tonight. And I believe, now listen, this word means different things. It does. And I believe one of them is not intoxicated. Amen. I believe the Lord's against that. Amen. But I believe also the emphasis is more on something a little different tonight. Being sober means level-headed in times of distress. Amen. It does. Everybody all right back there? Amen. Okay. I thought you'd done hit Richard again. He's already come in limping. Amen. We don't want him to go out. We don't want him to go out still. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Be ye sober, which we're not right now. But he says, be sober. And there's a reason for that. Again, it means level-headed in times of distress. I got that written down in my Bible. Literally, and I have to turn it like this because I wrote it crooked. Amen. But anyway, we're living in times of distress. We've already talked about that. As a matter of fact, for about the whole 2 weeks the subject's come up. I know we get tired of it. I get tired of it. But it seems like it just keeps coming up and we need to address it. Folks, listen to me. Christians, listen. God does not want us to be caught unaware. Don't stick your head in the sand and say, oh, it's going to be all right. It is not, I mean this, it is not going to be all right. You say, no, wait, you've been preaching, trust Jesus, and I'm going to preach it again tonight. But my friend, as far as this world is concerned, and we live in this world, we need to understand it's not all right. That's the reason we need Jesus. Because in Him, it is all right. And we need to be sober-minded about this, serious about this, amen? Because it's a serious matter. Why? My friend, listen, I know, well, let me read the rest of the verse, okay? Be sober, be vigilant, my friend, and that word means to be on guard. Be on guard. That's the reason, my friend, it keeps popping up, and we keep saying this, because we live in distressful times, and we need to be on guard lest we be called away with different directions of how to handle things and what's coming up and all of that. We need to be called unaware. We need to be aware of it. Amen. We need to be knowing what's going on. Praise the Lord. He says, and here's the reason why we're to be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. We talked a lot about who it was as our adversary last night, didn't we? Who's that enemy? My friend, it's the devil. It's the devil. And Christians, listen to me. Just because we got saved doesn't mean he wants to leave us alone. Hey, he never really bothered us when we weren't saved. No matter what he did, it didn't bother us because that was our father. And then we got saved and we got a new father. Amen. And now it bothers us, and the Lord says, I love you. And I want you to know what's going to happen. And so that's the reason a lot of the Bible is written, even in the Old Testament. When we look at the book of Daniel, what's all that about? It's about us. Amen. God's warning us and letting us know. Why? So that even when these times come, we can still laugh and joke like we just were doing. God, listen to me. I want my children to be happy. Amen? I want our grandchildren to be happy. So you know what? I'm going to do things to make sure that comes about in their life. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure it comes about, as a matter of fact. Well, God loves us. And though things are going to get stressful in the end times, God says, I still want you to be happy. I want you to be a joyous people. Right. Amen. Why? Folks, it's hard to witness when you're down and out and discouraged and about ready to give up yourself. Yeah. Right. Amen. And, right. And so that's the reason I preach about joy so much is because I find we need so much of it. Yeah. Amen. Because we do. Praise the Lord. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now that's not the lost. He's already got them. But he wants to devour us. He wants to take our testimony away. That testimony is what brings us our joy. Amen. And he wants to take that testimony away like he did from David over in the Old Testament. My friend, when David went in sin, committed his sin and sins and sins. Amen. And God judged him for that sin. He did. God judges sin. Amen. And when all that happened, old David begins to realize, man, I've been wrong. And he confesses before Nathan. And then, my friend, he goes before the Lord and he begins to pray in Psalms chapter 51. And he says that he lost the joy of his salvation. What was that? His testimony. Amen. His testimony. Boy, there were times when David would give his testimony, even if it was just to the Lord. In the book of Psalms, hey, he got caught dancing. We'd have kicked him out of the church. But he got caught dancing. Why? He's so happy. Glory to God. Woo! Amen! You say, you're not supposed to do that. No, don't. You may not supposed to, but I can. Amen. Not much of it, but I can. Amen. And I didn't say it makes sense either. Amen, but I can. Amen. Praise God. We need to rejoice. God wants us to do that tonight. Even though we see all these bad things coming about, boy, it broke my heart today also. I mean, I'm sure it did yours too. What's going on? My friend, listen to me. This thing, you know, and they all are hollering about their rights. Their rights. I am not standing on my rights. I'm standing for what is right. That we've got this mixed up. The devil's got us twisting this thing. We think we're supposed to be standing on our rights. Well, I've got my rights. Listen to me. I'm standing on what is right. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's right tonight. Amen. So the devil's after us. Amen. Oh, we're not the only ones. He's always been after God's children. And he's going to be after God's children until we go home. Amen. Amen. And then he's cast into hell. He's going to be there for all eternity. Amen. We don't have to worry about getting even with anybody. God's going to do that a lot better than you and I could. Amen. He is. All those that stood today and lied and lied. And what got me, someone would get up and tell the truth and three or four others right behind them would tell a lie. It never even fazed them about what the truth was. It never bothered them. I didn't see an hesitation. It was like, I get to lie. And they told it. Oh, my friend, listen to me. It tears my heart up, but I know this. My Savior still loves me. Amen. He still loves me. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy, Lord. God, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. Lord, we just pray that you'll speak to our hearts. God, not because we so deserve it, but Lord, because we so desperately need it. We need to hear from you tonight, Lord. And God, we've been hearing from man, and it just doesn't do us any good. But Lord, we need to hear from heaven tonight. That glory land, that place where, Father, there's all joy there. Even tonight, Lord, the joy bells are ringing yonder in heaven. Father, we thank you. Lord, we just praise your name tonight. We want to exalt you and lift you up. And Lord, you're high and lifted up tonight, Lord, because we love you. You're our King. And Lord, we want to just serve you and be faithful to you. So Lord, help us this evening. Father, help us tonight. You know every need here tonight. And Lord, somebody is down and discouraged tonight, and either here in the church building or yonder at home or wherever they're listening. They're down and discouraged, thinking about quitting. Lord, help them to realize there's nothing to quit to. There's nothing there. There's nowhere to turn. Lord, you're our God. And beside you, there's none other. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, somebody tonight they're disgusted with all of life down here. Lord, all of this stuff that's going on has got them depressed. And it's hard for them to rejoice in you. And you tell us to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And Lord, they're having a struggle with that. I pray tonight, God, you'd speak to their heart and let them know, God, that everything is well in heaven and everything is well with you, and even everything is well on earth in the hearts and lives of those that will let it be well. Father, help us tonight. Help that Christian, Lord, that's not struggling. Lord, that one that tonight is just excited, rejoicing in you. Help them tonight to get a little more excited and to rejoice a little more in you. Father, just meet with us and stir our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. So we looked here and we were in Ephesians chapter number 6 last evening, and we're going to go back there and look again at what we've read and see what the Lord, we're wanting to preach about how to defeat Satan. How to defeat Satan. Now, we're not talking about beating him one more time or one time in this life, and then that's it. He'll never bother you. Oh, he will. He'll keep bothering you. I don't care how close you. As a matter of fact, the closer you get to the Lord, more often he's going to irritate you. Yes. Amen. But my friend, we can defeat him in the sense of, I think of the Apostle Paul, and I watch how he lived for the Lord, and he declares there is a fight going on. Amen. As a matter of fact, he's the one that God used with the pen to pin down his word here in the book of Ephesians. And so Paul knew what it was like to fight the devil every day, every day. He said that he had to crucify himself or the flesh daily. Amen. Why? Because the battle that went on, the devil fighting his flesh, and he fought to not give in. And so we watch him. And I'll be honest, I know he had those battles every day. But I see a man that was victorious. Amen. I mean, we have a hard time understanding. We think you're either happy or you're sad, but there's a place in there, my friend, where we can be a little bit of both. I mean, sad because of the situation. I don't know anybody that's nuts enough to holler and shout over something bad happening in their life. Amen. But it's all right to shout because God's taking care of you even in the bad times. Amen? Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. We can fight Satan and overcome him. Every day in our life we can. Yeah. Amen. So we look here in Ephesians again in verse number chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor. I mean, sounds like to me pep rallies going on. Yeah. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And for we wrestle not against the flesh, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We talked all about that last night. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Amen. In the evil day, and having done all to stand. God wants us to be victorious that we might stand. Amen. Oh, today folks were watching. Got to get it. They were watching today, and they were just saying, as a certain one would get up, they'd say, I just want to know where you stand. That's what I was wondering. Amen. You know what? What God was wanting everybody to do today? Stand. Having done all to stand. Amen. He wanted them to stand. You say, but Brother Danny, just to stand? Let me remind you, God knows where we're standing.
Right. Right.
And some of those, I believe, God said, just go ahead and stand.
Yep.
And He let them give false witness.
Right.
Why? God's a God of grace.
Yes. Yeah.
And any one of them today could have changed their story to truth.
Right.
Right. God gave them ample opportunity. When He judges them, they'll have nothing to go back to. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise. Ain't that good?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And it's truth, my friend. It's truth. It's good because it's truth.
Right.
God's given them ample opportunity to turn back and to do right. Yeah. Every time, listen to me, every time He does. I preached it the other night, but some of us, listen to me, we didn't get saved the first time we heard the gospel.
Right.
We didn't get saved. Some didn't get saved the second time. Some didn't get saved the 10th time. Some didn't get saved the first 20 years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
I mean, you know what God did? God being full of grace, He gave us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So don't worry about all this.
Right.
It's going to come to an end.
Yes. Right.
But everyone that has stood against God, and that's literally what this is about.
Yeah.
Listen to me. It's not about Democrats and Republicans.
No.
It's about good and evil.
Yeah.
It's about God and Satan.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And boy, we can have a time with this when we realize that.
Because
we know who the greater is.
Right.
Amen. We know who the greater is. And so He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. I happen to think this is part of the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, another thing that's part of the armor, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, folks, if we're going to fight the devil, we need all this stuff, all these things that God tells us here. And remember, He's using the analogy of the soldier to show us what we need, and it gives us an idea of what it's for. But we do need tonight, we need truth, we need righteousness, we need the gospel of the peace, we need faith. We need salvation. We need the Word of God. We need to be praying, and we need to be watching.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We need all this. If we're going to withstand the devil, we're going to have this, my friend. There's not a one of us, please, please, please understand, there's not a one of us that's big enough, strong enough, smart enough, fast enough that we can fight Satan and win.
Right.
Not a one of us. As a matter of fact, church, I love you. I love this church. I think this church is one of God's prized possessions. I'm being honest. I do. And I don't say that up and down the road, because some of them I don't think so. But I think Northside Baptist Church is. I think you folks love the Lord. Amen. I mean, again, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious. Almost 2 weeks. Almost 2 weeks. I talked with one of my sisters this afternoon, and she was saying, well, how much longer are y'all going to be there? I said, through Friday. Through Friday. Well, it looks like you'd end it tonight at least. And I said, no, it's through Friday. I said, it's 2 weeks. Two long, dreary... Oh, no, I didn't say that. No, I said, 2 weeks. And I said, and she said, well, I hope y'all are having a good time. I said, we're having a grand time.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I believe this is one of God's prized possessions, this church. But let me tell you something. You and I, all of us together, cannot fight Satan and win. No, we can't. As a matter of fact, we can get another church down the road that's just as loved by God, still can't fight and win. Hey, we can get all the good, godly preachers together. Amen. We could not fight Satan and win. I mean, you could get all the professors of every Bible college together. And, well, you really couldn't get them together, because it would. But anyway, if you could get them together, amen. I mean, if everybody locked arms, every Christian locked arms and said, we're one. Come on, Satan, we'll take you on. We'd lose the battle. And God knew that. And God, that's the reason for the book of Ephesians. I know it's the reason for the whole Bible, okay? But that's the reason for the warnings that God gives in His Word. Because we can't overcome Satan. We can't. But we read the verse last night that we belong to Him, amen? We're in Him. And then the Bible says, and in Him, amen, is no darkness at all. And He tells us, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Isn't that awesome tonight? I just find that overwhelming. Amen. But we need these things that God is telling us. But let me share some more with you tonight. How are we going to overcome Satan? How are we going to fight him off and keep him from advancing in our life? Brother Danny, do you really believe it's possible? The Word of God teaches it is. Listen to me. My friend, we can overcome Satan in our everyday life by the use of the Word of God. You remember, turn with me over in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. And Matthew chapter number 4. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, the him is Jesus, the Son of God. The tempter is the devil. So when the devil came to Jesus, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, talking about Jesus, answered and said, it is written. It is written. What's written? The Word of God. That he's quoting, Jesus is quoting Scripture. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I could be wrong, and it wouldn't be the first time. But I believe as we look at the book here, the Word of God, we find out God even knows that we need bread to live. He never discarded the bread. Amen. He knows that's a physical need that we have. But listen, just as sure as we have this physical need for the flesh, we have a spiritual need for the Spirit. Amen. And so Jesus, he tells us, and he isn't it amazing? He's confronting the devil with this thing, but he also has us in mind. Because as he tells the devil this, who does it help? That doesn't help the devil. As a matter of fact, it kind of defeats the devil. But you know what? He thought of Danny Long some 2,000 years later that was going to come along and know that I'm going to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved, and going to heaven. Amen? But he knew that I was going to have some struggles in life because this old devil is real, and he's going to fight me, and I'm one of his children. And he said, I love that boy so much. Hey, listen to me, Danny. And he lets me know that I can fight Satan off with the Word of God. Do you know we're all without excuse? People that do not get saved are without excuse. Jesus died for everybody. Jesus is giving everyone an opportunity to be saved, even the heathens in the foreign countries, even the heathens in Georgia, and in Alabama, and in Washington. Boy, he got a handful, ain't he? But he, listen to me, he every one of them has got an opportunity to be saved. And God gives us this, and now and we come up, we say, well, I can't, who am I a match for the devil? And there's just no need in me standing in. And we think, listen, we think because we have this attitude, it shows humility. That's what we think. It shows that we're a loser. It shows that we just give up. And then also we think that it shows the devil, hey, back off now. I know I'm saved and I belong to God, but I've already surrendered to the fact that you're bigger than me and you whoop me and there ain't nothing I can do about it. So have mercy. Do you realize that there is no mercy with the devil? And he don't care what you plead. You can plead insanity or whatever you want to. It doesn't affect him. He's still going to tear your life up. He's going to rip everything up about your life. I mean, he's going to destroy your family. He's going to destroy your health. He's going to destroy everything he puts his filthy hands on. There's never a thing that the devil has touched that stood. Not a thing. Everything he's got his grimy hands on. Everyone that he's got his grimy hands on always fails. Amen. Oh, listen, then he said, Danny, if you'll listen to me, I'm going to help you. He said, you can overcome Satan. And here he's saying it by the Word. It is written. Listen, go on, you know it already, but go on in verse number 7. The story's still going. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Amen. In verse number 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Amen. Oh, the Word of God enables us to overcome Satan. David said in Psalms chapter 119, verse number 11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Amen? It's the Word of God that keeps us from sin. That's the reason the devil doesn't want us reading. We started off the other night, I think it was, preaching about stay away from the Word. Amen. Who wants us to stay away from the Word? The devil does. Why? Because there's power in the Word. There's victory in the Word. And if we study that book and my friend, apply it to our heart, it'll keep us. You say, Brother Danny, y'all pray for me. I have such a struggle with sin. Well, join the crowd. But my friend, I got some good news for you. We can be overcomers. We can say no to sin. Romans, I believe it is Romans, teaches us that sin shall have no dominion over us. You know what that word dominion, it means power. Sin has no power over us. We think when sin comes along, oh, I got to get there. Yes. We think we got to fall at the feet of sin and accept it in because we don't have no choice. We've been preached to and told so long, my friend, that there's nobody perfect, nobody can be perfect, that you know what it's done? You say, oh boy, now you're twisting. No, you know what it's done? It has persuaded us that no one can be perfect, so what's the use of trying? When Jesus comes back after us, I want to be found as perfect as I possibly can. I'm a trying. Has nothing to do with going to heaven. Well, it does. It's because I'm going to heaven that I want to do this. I want to be perfect in His sight. Amen? I want to have reached some spiritual maturity. There's some Christians, I say Christians, they say they are, that's been saved for 20 and 30 and 40 years, my friend. They're still little babes in Christ. If you put a chunk of meat in the message, my friend, about how we're to live, how we're to dress, how we're to act, all of these things, you know what? They get all fuddy-duddied up. They begin to choke on the meat, and they run out. I'm not going back there to eat again. I'm going to some other restaurant. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm going to some other restaurant where they'll serve me something that I'm able to eat.
Right. Right.
What you need is baby food.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And that won't even taste good.
No.
Amen? It won't even feel good in your mouth. Amen? And it won't do you much good.
Right.
I mean, you can grow for a while on it, but after a while, you'll quit growing.
Yeah.
We need the Word of God.
Yes. Yeah.
We need the Word of God, my friend. And David said, thy Word have I hid in my heart. What is it? Why is he hiding it there so the devil can't snatch it away? We're not talking about eternal security. We're talking about the Word of God. The devil wants to take it out of our heart. He wants to take it out of our memory.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Sorry, rascal.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I'm not rejoicing because people are going to hell, but I'm sure rejoicing because the devil is.
Sure.
Amen. I'm telling you, folks, listen, we need to realize it's the Word of God that's going to get us through, my friend. Praise the Lord. And then, not only that, but my friend, by the blood of the Lamb that's going to help us to fight the devil and win out. It's the precious blood of Jesus, my friend, that's going to take care of us. Amen? I mean, and the Bible says and in Revelation 12 and 11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes!
Amen.
Yes! By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
When Jesus died on the cross, my friend, and shed that precious blood, we kind of want to get down and we want to talk about sheep and little lamb about this time because of that precious blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. It was not precious. It was powerful and precious.
Right. Amen.
Powerful. That blood of Jesus has power in it. That's the reason they want to take it out of the song book. That's the reason they want to take it out of the Bible book. Amen. My friend, why? Because the devil knows this Bible has power. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ has power. Amen. So you know what? If I got Bible in me, and if I got the blood on me, I got power. And the devil wants us to think we're nothing but losers. Amen. Boy, they went away from there today thinking, we won. And to show you they're not right, just to show you they're not right, look how bad we beat them. They're leaving here with their tail tucked between their legs, yapping like a whipped dog. That's what they thought when they nailed Jesus to the cross. When they took Him off that cross and is dead.
Yep.
They placed him in that tomb, that old dirty tomb.
Yep.
They placed him in there, and I'm sure the devil and the demons of hell thought, he's done for, he's dead. And all those followers, all they're going to do is fall by the wayside because they have no life, no life giver. He's dead. They rolled that stone over that hole, and one of them said, well, let's just kind of make sure he stays there. Why were they worried about that if they were so sure he's dead?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why? He said, because they were afraid that someone would come and steal the... No, they weren't.
Right.
Listen to me. Who's behind this thing?
Right.
The devil. He knew there was going to be a resurrection day.
Right.
Yeah. You say, well... No, no, no. He knew it, but he thought he could change that.
Right.
Amen? I think maybe he messes with us because he thinks he can change our eternity.
Yeah.
He thinks he can come and snatch our salvation away.
Right.
But he can't.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Wait, wait. While I've been talking to you, a day has went by. He's still in the tomb.
Yeah.
This time tomorrow, they'll still think they've won the victory.
Yeah.
And all of us that not voted for Republicans,
right,
but all of us that voted for the right,
right,
for the right.
Yeah.
Not my rights and not your rights, but for what was right,
right.
God. All that voted, they died with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, another day just came and went.
Right.
This is getting to be a sure thing. Y'all are a bunch of I can come out openly now and say y'all are a bunch of losers. Because you trusted in one that's dead and in the tomb. Amen. We're sitting here watching the tomb. And the stone is still there. And all of a sudden, the stone is rolled away. Now we can go and we can see that one that died. Amen. See, it wasn't moved for him to come out. It was moved for us to go in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when they got there, he is already gone.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's already out.
Yeah.
Now those unbelievers, they begin to mingle in with that and slip in there, and all of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. And boy, they thought, what have we done?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not that they're sorry that they crucified him or placed him in the tomb. That's not it. What if we've let him get loose?
Right.
Oh, now no matter what happens, we got to fight against what they're going to say. They're going to have an excuse.
Yeah.
They never did get an excuse.
Right.
Why? They got a God
right.
that was alive.
Right.
They didn't need an excuse. They
right.
got a Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Aren't we something tonight? You say, no, Brother Danny, no, we're nothing. Oh, yes, we are. We're the people of God.
Right.
We may not be much, but we're the people of God.
Right.
Amen. If you sift us down, my friend, and put us through the fire and to see how fine we are, what we are made of, my friend, all of a sudden that old flesh will melt away, the bones will be disintegrated, but there will be some little something there. What is that? That's the righteousness of God that's
right.
in us.
Right.
And it won't burn.
Right. Right.
Oh, I'd like to shout right now, amen. Thank God. I just don't feel like I'm defeated.
Right. Right.
Amen. And that's the way we're supposed to feel. Undefeated. For we are already victorious. Amen. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb, they overcame Him. There are verses throughout the Bible about that precious blood. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, here in the book of Revelation, He plainly says that they overcame Him. And that Him is the devil, my friend, and the they is us. And we overcame Him by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Not only that, my friend, but you can be a winner. We'll put it that way. You can defeat Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. We've already been reading about that. Amen. You want to know how to defeat Satan? Put on that whole armor. Suit up. My friend, get ready. You have these things in your heart and your life. You can win out over Satan. you can win out. Amen. The armor of God will protect us. Will take care of us. The Bible says it will keep us from the fiery darts of hell. The old devil can throw them fiery darts at us, trying to hurt us, trying to defeat us, trying to destroy us. And my friend, you know what? We may ouch and oh and ooh every once in a while. But again, I think of Paul and I think of Silas, who at midnight, they're in that prison. The fiery darts, it seems like they found their target. Each one of them. I mean, my friend, they're hurt. They're down there in that prison. My friend, isn't it strange that they're in a prison and at midnight they begin to pray? A little late, isn't it? Well, it wasn't. It's right on time. They begin to pray and then they begin to sing. And I mean, the songs were that, not that of defeat. Not a woe is me type song. My friend, I believe it was Lift Up Jesus song. Amen? Amen. I believe it may have been Amazing Grace. I don't know. I know somebody else wrote it here a while back, but it could have been in print before that as far as in the heart of man. Amen. It was something about how great Jesus was, because it was worth staying up to midnight after talking to Him a while. It was worth singing about Him. Amen. Well, I'm telling you folks, we've got it. We just don't realize it. We got it.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, we got it. What's it going to take to convince some of us that we've got it? We ought to jump in and holler, amen.
Yeah.
Makes me want to holler, hip, hip, hooray for Jesus. Because I know I was a loser until Jesus came into my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Take that devil. Amen. Yeah. Holler out, son.
Amen.
Let the old devil know there's life. Even the young ones want to get involved. Amen. Wish you old ones would. You don't have to hoop and holler. Don't have to run. Just a whoo. Amen. Just to show the God of heaven, hey, I love you. Well, He knows I love Him. Oh, I doubt it with that attitude. You ought to tell Him. You ought to tell Him. Do you ever tell Him? Do you ever get excited? Just a question. You don't have to answer me. But do you ever get excited? I mean, to the point you just can't contain yourself and you have to go, whew.
Yeah.
I mean, something ought to happen.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, listen. Putting on the whole armor of God. By submitting and resisting. And I put these two together because they got to be together.
Yeah.
Preacher said something about it the other night. And they got to go together.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
There, my friend, in... where am I at? In James chapter 4, the Bible tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Right.
We got to submit, first of all, the Bible says, we got to submit ourselves to God.
Yes.
We got to surrender to Him and say, Lord, I'm yours, whatever you want.
Right.
Paul and Silas had done that. They were submitted unto the Lord. Amen. And then he says, after the submission, we got to resist the devil.
Yeah.
I believe Paul and Silas had done that. As a matter of fact, I think that's what they were doing in prison as they were praying and as they were singing. They were resisting the devil, because you can't tell me the devil wasn't down there trying to fill their ear full of, if you'd listen to me, you wouldn't be here in the first place.
Right.
I'd try to get you boys to just forget this religious stuff. And you went, it was all right to go to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all right to get baptized.
Yeah.
It's all right to pay your tithe. It's all right to do all these religious acts. It's okay.
Right.
But you're getting too involved with this Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I believe He's filling their ear full, like He does you and I. The difference was, they didn't listen to Him. We want to just kind of pull up a chair and say, yeah? Well, tell me more. Tell me a little more about how bad things are. Seems like you know more than... And I don't mean that derogatory. I mean, we do that.
Sure.
We want... You seem like you know more about how bad it is in my life than I do. Fill me in on a little more.
Yeah.
But they didn't bite on that one.
Right. Yeah.
The wiles of the devil,
yeah.
That allurement, they didn't bite on it.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
They just let it go by. Amen. They just let it go by, and they said, hey, it wouldn't surprise me if Paul looked over at Silas and And Silas looked back at him, and they had a little weakness about their look and their countenance, a little weakness. And one of them said to the other, "Let's pray. We need to pray. Well, there ain't nothing to do except pray in your weak hour."
That's right.
Amen. That, you know what that does when you're so weak you have to stop and pray? Someone says, "I've done everything I know to do. Preacher, I guess we're going to have to pray about it."
Yeah.
You know what you do in your weak hour? You pray and admit to God how weak you are.
Yeah.
We talked about Jehoshaphat last night, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Jehoshaphat said, "Lord, we can't fight this crowd. He's the king. He's supposed to encourage the people. The war's coming to us. Just get ready." He's got to encourage them, and he say, "Here's the way he encourages them. Lord, we can't do a thing about this situation." He said, "Well, boy, that was pitiful." No, it was honest. They couldn't do a thing about it. You and I can't do a thing about our situation. Amen. We can't do it. All this stuff that's going on, we can't do a thing about it. Amen. I mean, our hands have always been tied. Amen. But what we need to do is we need to be like Paul and Silas. And I believe they said, "Let's pray." One of them started praying, and the other one talked. "You know, Lord, you sure have been good to me. Lord, I'm a little down. We was preaching your word down the street, and that woman got right with you. And Lord, then they took us aside and they beat us. They stripped our clothes off of us and then they beat us with that whip. And then, Lord, they threw us in this jail. We're down here and a lot of times we know the stories. We've heard them and we've seen them. And Paul said, and I've been a part of them, how that men and women have died in here. And we're probably here to die. But you know, Lord, the old flesh is down. But I can honestly say, Lord, it is well with my soul." Have you ever been like that?
Yes.
Nothing's changed. They're still in jail.
Right.
It wasn't like they were set free and then they prayed and they sang praises unto God. They're still in jail.
Right.
Have you ever been in a terrible situation? And not, it hasn't changed, at least not for the good. It may have changed. It got a little worse.
Right.
And you thought, maybe I ought to quit. And then all of a sudden you thought, "But Lord, that's where I was when you found me. I was a quitter.
Sure.
I was on the road to hell when you found me.
Right.
I was without hope when you found me. You came along and, Lord, there were people all around and you could have saved any one or all of them and left me alone, but you didn't. You showed mercy and grace to me. When I was all down and not fit to even love you. Wasn't even fit to be loved. And God, you just reached down and picked me up out of that old pit and set my feet on a solid rock, which is your Son, Jesus." And by this time, old Silas is saying, "Paul, let's try to harmonize on one. Let's try to sing it pretty for Jesus." All them prisoners were listening. And all of them heard. That's what the Bible says. And the jailer and his family all got saved in the midst of a battle. It was. It was in the midst of a battle. Next time there's a battle, look around. Somebody might get saved. Amen. If we'll do what's right. I'm telling you, we can overcome Satan. I hope he gets so frustrated tonight with us meeting here in this building, my friend, that he runs into a brick wall on his way out and busts his nose. Amen? I don't know if he can bleed or not, but I just hope he busts his nose. It don't matter to me whether it's blood or not. Just hope he's got a busted nose. Amen? You say, "Why his nose?" Because he keeps cramming it in my business. Amen? Amen. I'm serious, folks. Listen to me. I hope God just trips him up real good. So the devil will know he's been in a fight tonight. Amen. I hope he knows when this thing comes to an end Friday night that he's been in a fight. My friend, he's been fighting us every night. Hey, little bitty things have been happening in our lives. Amen. I mean, just things that don't matter to nothing except they're discouraging.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus just keeps on blessing. in spite of all the devil does. And I hope when this thing comes to an end, the old devil knows, them folks down there at Northside Baptist Church, that's not religion they've got. They've got Jesus. And he'll know because he knows who Jesus is. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to submit and we need to resist the devil. And then, my friend, how can we overcome Satan? By our own testimony. Revelation chapter, let me look here. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. The Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We read that a while ago. And by the word of their, he said, my testimony is not as good as everybody else's. And preacher, that's the reason I don't ever give it, because I just don't have that good of a testimony. Really? Did you get saved? Well, yeah, but I don't have that good. There ain't no better testimony. A testimony is not how bad I was. That's not a testimony. A testimony is how good He is. I can testify to people how sorry and mean I've been, and all that stuff, all the days of my life, and nobody ever gets saved. But boy, you get to testify to the goodness of God. Hey, I didn't get saved because that preacher had been a no-count rascal till God saved him. That's not the reason I got saved. I got saved, my friend, because Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I got saved, my friend, because of the precious Lamb of God shedding His powerful blood on Calvary's cross.
Right.
That's the reason I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. He says here, in Revelation, he said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Right.
Wonder why he inserted that down there at the last.
Yeah.
It's almost like it don't even go.
Yeah.
But it do go.
Sure. Yeah.
It does very much.
Yeah.
If we love the Lord like we should, my friend, we're ready to face death. Listen to me. Not just face it, but we're willing to go through death for our Savior.
Right.
I don't have to die for Him.
Right.
He died for me.
Yeah.
What He wants me to do is to live for Him,
because
He did the dying.
Right.
But we need to be ready, because the old devil may come.
Yes.
And God may say, He's ready.
Yeah. Right.
We won't be standing alone. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to say we're going to die one day.
Right. Yeah.
And we need to be ready tonight. And if we get the COVID,
yes,
we're just going to go.
Yes.
May be painful. May be suffering. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, it may be, I mean, pain we can't bear. But I know one who can.
Right.
They crucified Him.
Yes.
My friend, before they ever nailed Him to the cross, He was already a broken up man.
Right. Right.
I mean, he couldn't even recognize who He was. They say that they beat Him so much that His face looked like hamburger meat.
Yeah.
They plucked His beard.
Yeah.
And you stop and think of it. That would give it that appearance.
Yes.
Plucking the beard. Pulling that. They didn't do it one hair at a time with little tweezers.
Right.
They grabbed it. And I believe it was long enough to grab. And I know we try to preach against long hair.
Right.
Why? I don't know. But we do. I think we'd just like to be so different from everybody. Not peculiar, weird. Amen? But he had enough of it. They plucked His beard out. And they took a reed and they smote Him on the head, driving that crown of thorns, the thorns, down into His brow. Then they spit upon Him and mocked Him and made fun of Him. He knows all about pain. His heart was hurting inside and His body outside. Yet, you never heard Him cry out. I believe He could have said, Father,
sure,
take me out of this place.
Right.
And God the Father would have ejected Him out of there right quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But He didn't do it.
Right.
You know why? He knew that He was the only hope